My father, Dr. F., noticed my dinner roll trembling, then tumbling out of my right hand. "I'll get you another one," he offered, "a younger one. The older ones only last so long. It could be the median or radial nerves, the digital sheath, or the flexor sublimus digitorum, or maybe the cyanoacrylate compound. Let me see it." His usual frown ruffled his forehead like a hat. He pushed his half-eaten dinner plate, with its flurry of some bird's rib cage and legs, tossed with mashed potatoes and peas, to one side. His food looked bruised. Sometimes I saw pictures of things, but couldn't make all of them into a language. His shoulders drooped, and his eyes grew monstrous under his thick black eyeglasses. Light lay across the kitchen table in stitches from the bars on our windows. "Manufacture," he stated one of the silly words to make me laugh. I did, although it sounded horrible, like teeth gnashing together. I hesitantly unfurled my right hand and lay it on the table between us. He inspected it while I made my usual joke. "Another operation with all that anesthesia, and I'll lose more of somebody else's brain cells." To which he consistently replied, "My beautiful miracle of modern science, my lovely Mara." He petted my hand, although I knew he was careful and very precise in his touch. He stroked my wrist scars. For a moment, I envied the dead bird. "When?" I asked, although I usually liked being imprecise. "Now," he said, "I have something that will work." All the air in my hollow core rushed out. The house of my body emptied out for a minute. Then I could feel my blood and organs resuming their hard work again. I thought of that bird caught flying in an unbroken sky. Now on our plates, it was something else. My stupid heart fluttered and kicked. I wanted to draw my wings around me, but they were always somebody else's wings. I wanted something that was my own, one day, an hour. "When I turn 19 next month, I want to inhale the sky, touch a tree." I was beginning to list what I wanted to do again. Father made a twisted face. The kitchen table seemed to knock the carcass of that bird off his plate. But it was my father jostling it accidentally with his elbow as he reached for me. "You know, Mara, your age is simply an average of all the components." He touched my arm. He was using his soothing voice. I could only hear ice cracking. Sometimes my senses became mixed up. If I had been a radio, then certain of my wires were crossed. I would never confess these symptoms to my father. That bird nearly leaped off of its plate and rushed toward the window. I wanted to explain to it how it would never escape. Father was still talking. "You are always more than the sum of your parts." He hugged me. I wasn't sure. Instead, I gave him a word. Artifice. Last night I had a recurring dream that I was an ugly, moon-shaped-faced girl with dirty red hair and tangled strands. I was staggering down a blurry street, bumping into people, insulting them. My brain wasn't working correctly, and I was fighting with everyone. I cursed someone in an alley, a man I couldn't see, and he grew angry, lifting me into the air by my neck. I saw stars, planets, planes, clouds reflected in a broken window lit by a street light. I saw my moony face among them, and then we were swept away by black clouds into emptiness. I didn't mind the lengthy darkness. It was the abrupt pinpoint of light that disturbed me. I screamed for my father in my sleep. Just before he ran into my bedroom, the girl's moon face cracked into tiny little pieces and rained into my hands. It was rendered harmless, and I wasn't sure I could put it back together. Underneath it, a pink brain and laddered arterial system were pulsing and beautiful. Father ran into my bedroom without his glasses, his body crumpled in his pajamas. Bad dreams? He sat on my flowered coverlet. I nodded. I can fix them for you. How do I know whether they're mine or someone else's? He thought for a moment. I don't know, Mara, honey. Tell me what they were and we'll try and sort it out. No, I'm sure they were mine. His head tilted skeptically, as though he knew I was afraid. All that cold steel, the antiseptic smells, machines rolling and whirring around me, the pain that vanished faster and faster each time. You know, Mara, I will always do what I can for you. I'm fine, I reassured him. He who took away and gave. He patted my hand. Complexity, he gave me before he left. I could feel my stomach digesting every bite of my dinner. Pain pinched at my head, and I heard a soft music with bright lights attached to it. My heart ran quickly ahead of me. I closed my eyes. You can have 2 hours tomorrow on the computer. Unsupervised. It was a gift, a bribe. I was rarely allowed to use the computer, relying mainly on books my father had chosen for my enrichment. The classics, he sometimes called them. But we both knew I had nowhere to go except to the laboratory. I stood up and took my father's hand. My body's borrowed. We're all on borrowed time, honey, he told me, his precious daughter, before he unlocked the thick, heavy door to the downstairs. A variety of familiar lights tore into our skin. The machines formed a tall city around us, our own private city. I lay down on the padded table. He strapped me down. He caught me staring at the photographs, the mother and daughter, contentedly surrounded by trees and pet animals, the scientist standing in front of a building at his school. The scientist gave my father his first interesting word, complicity. I glanced at the photographs before every operation to say hello. We each had collected scars. My father's forehead had a circle of light attached to it. His wild white hair escaped from the top of his head. A blue paper mask covered his face. His glasses peeked out from above the blue edge. He wore his beige gloves and the table with instruments sat near his waist. He held my plastic mask aloft as I writhed beneath the straps. His eyes followed mine to see where I was looking. Look past the person. I didn't always understand his lessons, but it wasn't him getting the operations, stuck in bed for months, unable to move some arm or leg or worse, not capable of eating, sleeping, hearing, or seeing. I pushed his arm and my mask away with my available fingertips, and then I held onto it. No piece of me went unnoticed. You're the future, darling Mara. You're my whole life, he reminded me. I tingled inside. I stuck out my makeshift tongue at him. I released his arm. Don't be abstract, I chided him. I wanted specifics. How was I the future? He didn't answer me. The mask he lowered onto my face smelled how I imagined. Lake water stank, dank, wet, and earthy. Cones of light crossed my eyes, and those trees and animals from the photographs grew closer, started breathing with me. Deep breaths, deeper. I began collapsing back into myself. I remembered hiding from my father, behind some jars of pickled hooves and snouts, human livers, bladders, brains, hearts, ears, and intestines in the lab a long time ago. Skulls lined one shelf. He ignored my racing and crouching and giggling. I had asked him where he got all the parts in the jars. Sweetheart, you don't want to know. He patted my hand. That's for me to worry about. Where else could I go? I'm the future, seen through a glass of cold water, I murmured. That dead chicken was pecking at my side as a beautiful blue color surrounded me. Where did that come from? He was talking to himself already, a knife in his hand, his extra surgical eyepiece dangling over his enlarged eyes, the steady circle of light from his forehead. Everything in the laboratory was ready, humming. "We create ourselves," he whispered to me from very far away.